All right, see him in the waiting room. Joining us now, fresh off of a flight home from beautiful Tampa, Florida. Are we calling it beautiful? They got Florida man and Florida woman there, so I don't know if it's really beautiful. But one of our favorites, Evan Veith of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com and the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, joining us here on a Friday edition of Bucky and BK. Evan, how are we doing today, my man?
Good. It looks like I just came off the flight in Florida with my hair going crazy today. I was trying to fix it, but here we are.
You're just being you. Just be natural, man.
Just letting it flow. That Florida man vibe. Just hanging out.
Florida man vibe. You look like Florida man at a lineup.
Yeah, right. The prison cell behind me, my not yet updated room that I've been moved into for a month, technically.
Oh, that is great. Well, your biggest takeaway, Evan, and I mean, there's a lot we can unpack, yeah. And I know you got a question in for Steve Sarkisian, and I know you got the chance to hear from Arch Manning and Colin Simmons and Trevor Goosby, but just giving you the floor, was there a big takeaway, something you learned, something you were really excited to hear from Texas Day out in Tampa?
I think most of the major takeaways all kind of blend into one major idea that comes into place from Arch, Goosby, Simmons, but really Sark was the one who stood out to me in just the raw confidence of this program, this team, and specifically their head coach, because there were a lot of quotes that went around recently with Steve Sarkisian that came from media days where he just felt like he was speaking as the guy who thinks he's going to win a national championship. And you know, it's talking season, so of course that it only really matters until you get on the field what you're saying then. But you know, talking about the rivalry games, like his response to Parker Livingston being brought up, like, yeah, like we're going to kick his A. Like that's what he said about the Oklahoma Red River rivalry game, which it feels like in the past, Sark has kind of beaten around the bush with big games, rivalry games. Like, you know, yeah, it's important, but it's just another game. Felt like this year when talking about those two games in Ohio State, you know, you mentioned A&M and how important that game is at the end of the year. And like, yeah, we have to beat Ohio State this year. Like that was kind of the way he was speaking about that game. It just feels like he's a lot more confident in the team he's brought out. And we kind of talked about this in the spring about how when he was going on his little media tyrant about different topics in college football, which, you know, the whole Coles Hudson situation, we'll see how good he looks after this year. But either way, it just felt like he was talking from a position of a guy who felt like his team was going to back up what he was saying. And now more than ever, I think all that's culminated between the way he talks about Will Muschamp, the confidence he has in that hire, talking about how it was everything he's wanted it to be since then, and bringing Jabbar Jalouk, it was the same idea. And the players he's brought to SEC Media Days, like I think he really felt maybe flex isn't the right word, but the aura that comes with bringing Arch Manning, Colin Simmons, and Trevor Goosby to SEC Media Days, like could that be three top 10 picks, two of the biggest recruits in Texas football history, the biggest name in college football? Those are the guys he's bringing to SEC Media Days, and he recruited all those guys. They weren't transfers. These are big-time players at big-time positions. So it just felt like this whole culmination of everyone that came there had this certain swagger and certain excitedness, but also just raw confidence in what this team can be. And we expect that from Colin Simmons, of course, and we got that from Colin Simmons. But even with the reserve Goosby and Arch Manning, like they sound like guys who were ready to just kind of play some football and go win some big games that they didn't get a chance to do last year.
You know, he sounds, Evan, he sounds more like Kirby than Sark. And Kirby is a guy who needs to have something us against the world. But Sark is like, I got the world. I got them. They're behind me right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be on the football field. He sounds like the guy who has all the players, all the right things going in the right spots without needing any gimmicks to get his guys going. We just, like you just said, we have to be at Ohio State. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That can't be a, you know, we were missing this or missing that. That's a must win for him. In his mind, I think he's got to believe that's, even though he can still get to college playoffs, even losing to a team like Ohio State, but he doesn't want that word in his mind, the losing word to them and trying to get through a gauntlet of SEC teams after that. He sounds like, no, we have to beat this group.
Yeah, and you know, Bucky, it's funny. He kind of reluctantly answered the question about the 9-3 playing the out-of-conference schedule. Like, should we have played Ohio State? Are you going to play Notre Dame? And, of course, it kind of gets misquoted because people cut him off right mm-hmm. as he's about to kind of do that. But, you know, he said, like, you know, if we played, St. John's College or whatever, sure. or Joe's College, that they probably make the playoff last year. But he added to that, and this is not something he's always done. Like, you know, we just – we do have to win the games. Like at the end of the day, like if it's on our schedule, we have to go and win 10, right. 11 games to get there. And I think he's starting to realize that a little bit more. Like, you know, we just can't, the schedule is our schedule. He didn't clearly doesn't like the 9-game schedule. And he made it clear to the local media like that, you know, that's what it is. They didn't get the 16-team playoff. It's a 9-game schedule in the SEC with Ohio State. You're starting on the back foot, but you got to go and win your football games. And I do think that with what you were alluding to, like needing to inject confidence into the team, I think he had to do that last year for sure. And the way he was talking in SEC media days last year before the season, and also just talking about how, you know, the culture worked and the way his team was structured, it was pretty clear that he had to do a lot of the heavy lifting when it came to pumping up his team and getting them ready for these moments. And look what's changed. He's now added Will Muschamp, who's just far more vocal than Pete Kwiatkowski. And Pete Kwiatkowski is a very good defensive coordinator, but Muschamp's that head coach of the defense. It's going to be loud. It's going to get his players riled up. And you also have heard more, not just that he's actually instilled the culture earlier, but we have definitive examples of what that looked like. You know, they talked about the scavenger hunt that they did at DKR just yesterday, or I guess it would have been Wednesday now, how like, you couldn't get it. Simmons and Manning and Goosby were laughing it up, talking about this thing. Like you could tell they were really competitive about the scavenger hunt on the field, you know, sweating so much under the DKR heat, but they all really cared. And they all, you know, they were leading their own groups, and Manning and Simmons were talking about no, I won. It just feels like the leadership is much, much easier for Sark to find on this year's team. And that leadership in tow brings confidence, which brings results, which I think that's kind of that culmination he's looking for this year.
Hmm. Yeah. It was Jones Junior High, by Jones the way. Junior High. That was the team that Steve Sarkisian said, oh, if we would have scheduled them instead of Ohio State last year, then we would have made the college football playoff. Spoiler alert, he's right. Evan Veith of Inside Texas joining us here on Bucky and BK. Well, Buck kind of brought up Georgia. That's the team everybody's chasing. But sort of the vibe I got not being in Tampa, Evan, was – Texas and Georgia are in a class of their own. Like it feels like just about everybody thinks that those two teams are the clear top dogs in this league, no pun intended. And there's a very good chance they meet in Atlanta in December. And like one of those two teams is going to win the SEC title. And maybe one of those two teams gives the league its best chance of its first national champion in 4 years. Was that kind of the vibe that you got? Does it sort of feel like those are your clear top two and everyone else is kind of chasing right now?
Yeah, I do think so. And most people, you know, despite how some kind of trolls will tell you, like, I do think most people felt Georgia was the team to pick for the SEC championship. But this has become a common sentiment now. It's not like a hot take anymore. But, you know, Georgia feels like maybe the SEC favorite, especially given their schedule. But Texas feels like the team that has the legs to go and get the SEC that championship when it comes around to the actual college football playoff and going to win a full-on title. So it's just hard to pick any other teams, right? Like LSU is probably the, I believe I had them as my number three team, but that's a whole new coaching staff, whole new roster, quarterback dealing with some injury issues, just a lot of new there. And Ole Miss was really good these past 2 years, but now it's different. And Alabama, it's not the same. It's far from the Saban Alabama teams that we were used to from 4 years ago. And they have a new starting quarterback. Or do you trust A&M and Oklahoma to be a true title contender? I don't think so. I think there's a really good tier two of the SEC this year that maybe wasn't as potent last year, like the tier one kind of all jumbled together because Georgia wasn't all that dominant and Ole Miss was kind of right there, even with a weaker schedule. But I do think there's a lot of good teams behind Texas and Georgia. But yeah, like this, Texas built this roster to be the number one roster in the SEC. And you can hear the way Sark talked about it. Like our expectations inside of our building are higher than, frankly, what's been said at SEC media days or around, which means that he thinks he's the favorite to go in the SEC. So if that's how they're thinking and with what Georgia always is, which is pretty much every single SEC title, it's hard to pick against that being the title game. And then, you know, can Sark get over that hump? I think he joked like you got to be the best to beat. You have to beat the best to be the best. Yeah. They will probably play Georgia at some point this year, right? It just kind of feels like destiny if Texas wants to win a title.
You know, Evan, did you get the feel from the coaches, the SEC coaches, that this whole 9-game SEC schedule was, you know, that was, we want to be the toughest and the baddest there is in college football, but damn, I wish we weren't playing 9 teams in our conference. Did you get that feel that they weren't as bold as they were? Once the commissioner threw that out, we're going to play 9-team schedule, and everybody kind of jumped on board of, hey, this is who we are. This is the SEC. Did you feel like them backing up a little bit like, damn, I wish this wasn't happening?
You know, these coaches love to say, you know, we're so happy with how Greg Sankey has worked and operated as the commissioner of the SEC. But yeah, this one move really is kind of screwing us over, because it is like it's his, he got outplayed by the Big Ten and kind of got told like, hey, it's what you guys want to be the big bad conference, as you were kind of alluding to, go play nine games. But a nine game SEC is different. And even if you want to say that the middle ground of these two conferences has become much more aligned in that, you know, your Iowa is maybe better than a Tennessee, or at least can compare year over year, it's still pretty clear that the very bottom of the Big Ten is worse than the very bottom of the SEC. And if you even want to go into the pageantry of things, like, you'd just much rather go play at UCLA than you would at Auburn. Like, that's just a harder environment to play, even when Auburn's having off year. And when Auburn was really bad last year, they lost a lot of really, really close games, like within 3 points. A few flips of the coin, and they're an 8-win team somehow, and Hugh Freeze still has a job. But it's just not the move that the SEC needed to make. Like, their leverage was always, you know, we have the money, and that's starting to dwindle down, that, you know, now that teams can all pay players, to be frank, like that Big Ten has gotten out ahead. But still, the SEC is the one that has 12 or 13 teams that are really investing a high amount of money into college football. Mm-hmm. And with eight games, those teams can kind of get a free win here, still play that out of conference, that I think really the out of conference scheduling is what the SEC has over the Big Ten in terms of, you know, clout or whatever you want to say. They're playing more of these important games than the Big Ten is. So they can hold that while still playing eight games, play nine important Power Four games and be just fine. But with 10, the margins are just so small. And, you know, is the SEC going to get four teams into the playoff this year? Probably. But, like, is there a world where they don't, where one of these Big 12 or ACC secondary teams ends up being good enough to go and steal a bid? Maybe a BYU or let's say Virginia Tech has a really good year.
Right.
That they might steal a spot from a 9-3 Alabama. So, yeah, you can tell these coaches, they like Sankey, they like what he's done. They're like, man, why am I playing nine SEC teams in a year where there's a 12-team playoff?
Yeah, I'm agree with you on that. Evan Veith of Inside Texas joining us here on Bucky and BK. Evan, you put out a piece on Inside Texas this morning talking about Arch Manning. Would love to get your thoughts, kind of what you learned from Arch at his breakout session, your thoughts on the things Steve Sarkisian had to say about Arch, and I guess just kind of your overall feel for Arch Manning going into his second season as the Longhorn starting quarterback.
Yeah, kind of the thesis of this article was, you know, the spotlight's always going to be there for Arch Manning, and it has always been there. But it felt like he was a little better equipped to face it this year. And he didn't do media days, or he did do media days last year, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't quite the same player that he was. It was more a theory of who Arch Manning was. And so there was confidence last year because, of course, you're going to be confident going into your first year starting. But as the actual media caught up to him during the season, a lot of that confidence was lost. And you could just tell that he dreaded facing the media after every game. And whether it was a poor win against San Jose State, or it was a loss against Florida, like, or Ohio State, he just wanted to run away. Like, that last thing he wanted to do was talk to people. And it felt like, you know, the crowds were not smaller, right? Like, I don't know if you saw the picture I posted, but he had a giant crowd around him at SEC Media Days. And Colin Simmons had a respectable one, but, like, Trevor Goosby might be the best left tackle in the conference. And all the people who might be over there with him were all with Arch Manning. It felt like he was much better at just not only doing the coach speak thing that he always does. There are some times where he just will kind of answer a question with nothing and say, you know, looking out for my teammates, so glad these guys are my teammates. But really interacting and being vulnerable with the media and saying, like, hey, like, last year really wasn't good. I wasn't having fun until we started winning, which, you know, I think was probably the Oklahoma game is when he started having fun. And yet it just feels like he's a lot more confident coming into this year, and it's natural. It's not this, like, I'm that guy confidence. It's, you know, I need to be a leader of the best team in college football. And to do that, I need to be centered and understand what my place in the sport is. So he's talked a lot about how he's stayed off his phone, tried to be more present in his time. And Sarkisian noted, like, 99% of people would have kind of crumbled in his spot that he was given in last year with all that media hate and all that pressure and all the clicks that were generated from him. So, you know, I think he's grown a lot since I asked him the question, like, what's the difference between you, the Arch Manning that showed up in Columbus last year and the one that's here in Tampa today? And he echoed, like, he just feels more mature. He's more present in the moment. Like, going through all those kind of rough times for him really helped him grow. And I think you're just going to get a better mental from the quarterback. And even if he does still make some of the same on-field mistakes, I don't think a lot of the true problems for him last year were, you know, he wasn't as accurate or he wasn't hitting the deep ball as well. A lot of it was he was getting rattled in these big away games, and that was affecting the way he played.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. Evan, did you get the sense that, you know, most head coaches, they'll tell you they like to give up a little bit of of control and let somebody else do this and they'll do that. Did you get the feel truly that Sark will have more attention paid to his offense and really let Will Muschamp be the guy on defense? And, you know, those dudes don't like to not give you some talk about your defense and here's what you need to do and here's what you can do. But is he really going to be paying way more attention to this offense and what they need to do from every aspect of the offense, the offensive line, the run game, the schemes, you know, what receiver routes are being run? I mean, do you feel that? Did you get that sense for sure?
Yeah, I really do think so. I don't think you bring in a guy like Will Muschamp and speak all this much about how you need the head coach of the defense and you need this guy to really take over one side of the ball and not let him do that. And it's clear that he's really let him do that. You can see it with the way the players' bodies have changed, even just on the roster. Like, the defensive ends are more defensive ends now than they were edge rushers like Lance Jackson and Ume Azulu. So I do think that Will Muschamp is definitely in his own realm. And more than anything this year, Sark's not going to be scrambling from behind like he was last year because, you know, some of it isn't his fault, right? Like, he did not hit the portal process the right way last offseason. So he was scrambling because he, A, didn't instill his culture early enough, which we heard over and over now, and it's kind of unfathomable that he wasn't doing it in February, but at least he's corrected his mistake. He didn't get the right combination at O-line until over halfway through the year. He was scrambling to do that. The defense wasn't quite up to par of what he wanted it to be, and it's clear that he felt like he needed to do some of that motivational and put his hands into that part of the team a little bit more in 2025. All of that should be, in theory, gone for this year. The culture is set up. There's someone else captaining the defense. He has a year under the belt from Arch Manning and guys like Wingo and a better O-line around him. It should be a much more concentrated effort of a strong offense and one where it's going to be creative early on. And I don't think there was a lot of creativity in week two against Ohio State. And I think part of that was he knew we couldn't deep down. If you remember, like, the week two O-line wasn't all that bad because I think they were doing a lot of, like, we know left guard is going to be an issue, so let's try to avoid these long dropbacks and these big plays. Let's keep the ball on the ground a lot, maybe try to find a shot here or there for Manning, but let's play conservative. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think Steve Sarkisian is ready to put up 70 on Texas State. Like, if he could, he will run up that score and just try to drop a statement on them. And Will Muschamp is a big catalyst of why he's kind of going to be able to have that creativity more in 2026.
Wow. Yeah, do you get a feel that he thought that his run game last year and his running backs were going to be able, even if the offensive line was just a tad softer and had some holes in it, that they were going to have, they had a better runner, you know, who had a great year the year before, and they found out that the prince turned back into a frog? Or, I mean, he was a good player, but he wasn't a great player. I mean, do you feel like he feels that now I've got two guys? I went out and bought two guys to bring here that are that kind of talented guys that even if this offensive line isn't great, that things are going to happen offensively in the run game.
Well, you know, Bucky, when he was on that main stage and he was kind of talking about the weaknesses of last year's team, the way he was rattling off like 8 bullet points, you'd think they went 6-6 or 7-5.
Right.
And kind of a testament, like, wow, they did go 10-3. They did have 3 top 10 wins, even with all these problems. But yeah, guard play was bad, both in the run game and the pass game. Running backs weren't dynamic. Drops and not a lot of help over top from the wide receivers. Defense wasn't aggressive enough. Quarterback struggles. Penalties. He went down the line. I mean, there really was like 8 different things he said. And it feels like every single time he said one of those things, I think in my head, did he address this? Like, was this changed? And there's only so much you can address with penalties and the mental aspect. He did add that he's trying something different with how he does kind of discipline and punishment when it comes to penalties and infractions of practice. But at the very least, we can say that he went and got 2 new offensive linemen and got 2 new running backs. And he did say, like, you know, this quote got around, like, he had to cut some players for cap space, and that included Wisner and Baxter. But if you're telling me Smothers and Brown are making less than $1 million more than that duo for how much better they will be, it's a great job in roster building from Steve Sarkisian. So you could tell that he knew the struggle was there in 2025. And he is now able to be more candid about it the farther away he's gotten. But now looking towards 2026, like, at the very least, these running backs will be able to extend what is given to them, even if what's given to them is not quite up to par with what you'd hope from an O-line.
Definitely. Evan Veith of Inside Texas and InsideTexas.com joining us here on Bucky and BK. A couple more for you here, Evan. Bucky and I were talking about John Meredith III earlier. I think that might have been the most noteworthy thing that Steve Sarkisian said yesterday, right? Bringing it up unprompted that John Meredith is reclassified from 2027 to 2026, and he will join the Longhorns roster this fall. Your thoughts on what that means for Texas and maybe impossible to predict, but is there any chance that this is a player who can make an impact for Will Muschamp's defense this fall?
You know, I don't know if it matters all that much for this year outside of kind of a, you know, Tyler Atkinson last year, John Meredith this year, and that's just like a cool needle drop he's gotten to put onto the Texas Longhorn and SEC media days. But Meredith probably won't break in that much this year just because, you know, he is 18. Like, it's not like his body will be behind. He was a five-star number one or number two cornerback in the class above. So this is a truly, truly talented player, but they don't exactly need him to contribute all that much. It would be pretty bad if it got to the point where John Meredith was taking like CB3 snaps. It just means that everyone's injured. Like, that you have to get through Roberson and Littleton on the outside and Masco and through the Samari Matthews is probably a little more advanced at this point because he's been doing the fall camp. I think more than anything, what's really good from this is that A, it's utilizing what 5-for-5 is nice with eligibility. Like, Meredith gets to come in no matter what. He wasn't going to stay 5 years at Texas, but now he has a little bit more leeway to like take this year as a true red shirt, even if he does play on special teams or does get a few snaps early. And it doesn't really matter for his eligibility. And secondly, like, now it feels like he's kind of in a fast lane. Like, what if he's the starter next year, week one? It seems like he's that good of a player. And now he, instead of kind of trying to figure out where he's going to play high school football next year, whether it would have been at IMG Academy or gone back to his old high school, he just gets to learn under Mark Orfe and the rest of that Texas defense. And there was always rumblings of like, is he going to be good enough to start as a true freshman? Now I'm looking at it like, okay, Littleton, Phillips, Masco will probably be off to the NFL. It's his or Samari Matthews or Warren Roberson's spot. He could very well take that position and be the CB2 next year on the outside. Sure. So that's more what I'm looking at it for. I think it's a better chance for him to really make an immediate impact at Texas. And, you know, this is going to start becoming a little bit more of a norm with 5-for-5. I think you're already seeing it in college basketball where players who are able to at their age come in, even if they aren't going to be draft eligible the next year. So Marcus Spears being the obvious one for Texas fans. So I do think Meredith will probably stay on the sideline a lot this year, maybe play some special teams and then really put his foot forward in 2027.
Yeah, that's awesome. Any, Evan, I don't think you spent the whole week in Tampa, right? You were only there for, okay. Highlights? Did you get to go see the city at all? Is that, like, we had Chip Brown earlier this week telling us that Tampa's underrated and this is some great place to go, giving us FOMO. Did we miss anything from Tampa?
I had a really good wing and beer dinner on Wednesday night when I came in. Some really, really good buffalo garlic parm wings at this random bar that was right by the hotel I was staying at. But mostly, like, we were just kind of in that convention center, which is right on the water. It was pretty. But outside of that, you know, they had a snack like section of the day at like 3, where you got to kind of, it was after lunch and right as things were ending and you were kind of getting into the late stages of it. And they had a Dr. Pepper soaked hot dog that was, I wouldn't say it was good or better than a regular hot dog, but it was different, which I appreciated because, you know, they're doing all the Dr. Pepper sponsorships with the SEC. So they had that and then like beer, cheese and pretzels. I was like, you know what? They're treating us pretty well here. That's a pretty good win. That's
a pretty good win. Lizzie, did it taste like Dr. Pepper?
It had that exact same sweetness that it, like the cherry and the Dr. Pepper had. So I don't know if I would want to replicate it or even ever have it again. But like, you know, I did a Cheez-Its bowl last year and I couldn't eat Cheez-Its ever again. Like that I think the Cheez-Its I got given on the plane last night were the first Cheez-Its I've had since that December. So I will say, like, this was not the like taste bud ruining kind of hot dog that it could have been.
Okay. What, do they just boil it in DP instead of water?
Or at least they hold it in the Dr. Pepper and does the carbonation change anything about the dog? I don't know. Soaked though. Like, that was the terminology.
Okay. Buck, would you try that?
No.
I'd probably have 10
of them. I'm not a hot dog eater. And if I go to the ballpark, I don't want my hot dog dipped in anything but hot water. That's it.
What are you dipping? What are you, Joey Chestnut? You're dipping it in the water?
Yeah, well, I get boiled hot dogs or whatever. I don't like fancied up hot dogs. I don't anybody poking anything into my hot dog. Or I don't even want any butt lettuce on it or anything else.
You don't like a Seattle dog, like sprucing it up a little bit?
No mustard for the buck, just water. That's the only condiment for him.
Warm water on the hot dog and bun.
Nasty. Well, Evan, before we let you go, I always like to give you the chance to promote Inside Texas. I know you guys had tremendous coverage at SEC Media Days, but What's going on over at IT these days?
Yeah, InsideTexas.com is where you can find our stuff. There's going to be a lot this weekend just from, you know, Media Days gives you so many quotes and so many interesting tidbits. So we're going to be pumping out content. Inside Texas YouTube channel. You can find me and the rest of our guys on there. And then at Evan Veith on Twitter is where you can find my Twitter. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks always as always, man.
Talk to you, buddy.
Talk soon. Yeah, of course. Appreciate it. All right, there he goes. Evan Veith, Inside Texas. You just heard the man, InsideTexas.com, the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, giving us some boots on the ground perspective from Texas Day out in Tampa. Not only did we talk football, but we talked about Dr. Pepper glizzies. I didn't have that on my bingo card today, Buck.
Dr. Pepper doesn't boil. It's a science. Science with Dr. Pepper, huh?
You believe in science?
I don't believe in science when it comes to a freaking hot dog.
I believe in God. I don't believe in science. Yeah.
Just give me a good old God-made hot dog.
Yeah, I've seen, like, Dr. Pepper's a big SEC sponsor. And I think they have partnered with, who's it, Johnsonville? Don't they make sausage?
Yeah, Johnsonville sausage, yes.
Like at HEB, I've seen Dr. Pepper sausage. So I guess this is right along those lines. Like you can get a link. I don't know if it's soaked in DP or seasoned. I've never tried it before, but I guess they are diving into the wiener DP bit.
Well, you are. You don't mind the wiener. You try everything at least once or five times. I mean, it doesn't. You'll give everything a shot. You know.
I don't mind the wiener.
Yeah, you don't mind. You don't mind the lettuce at Taco Bell, the butt lettuce.
I don't need to.
Hey, let me tell you something. Believe me, in this state, you'll take that chance if somebody offers you some Taco Bell. If they said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to buy your lunch at Taco Bell," you're going to take that chance.
I went to Taco Bell 2 days ago. Now, I didn't get any lettuce. I was shying away.
Were you really?
Yep. Even though it's supposedly that's behind us, and all that butt lettuce is no longer.
Oh yeah, it's behind us. You said it right. It's behind us.
Yeah, I ain't taking any chances on that.
No, I have not had lettuce since that whole thing came out. I'm not taking any chances. If it ain't coming from the lettuce rancher, I'm not having it.
And there was, sometimes you get a stray piece of lettuce or tomato that ends up on the wrapper that they use. Oh. A tiny little shard of lettuce just on the wrapper. Again, nothing in the item. I didn't even touch it. I like leaned it over the trash can and just like dumped it in. No chances taken.
I don't want that kind of stuff in my belly. I don't want anything to happen to my belly.
No.
Everything else can take it. My mind is a terrible thing. You know, my teeth, my eyes, my bad back. But in my belly, I can't take an upset belly. That's the worst for me.
Yeah. Don't need any diarrhea parasites.
Oh, no. That seemingly won't go away for me. That'll stay with me for like 6 months if that happens.
Nasty. All right. We'll take your thoughts on whatever we're talking about here. Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Shout out to our friends at Coda. Coda Land almost open, Buck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. An amusement park here in Austin, Texas, USA, America. Of course, they got F1 and MotoGP and NASCAR and tons of great events out there all of the time.
They'll have some good food out there too, man.
No doubt. And they sponsor our Coda text line every day. Before we dive back into SEC Media Days, we got some sound from Arch Manning. And maybe we'll dive into the other three teams who were represented yesterday. But before we go any further, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, Wood Comfort Systems have been in the Central Texas for 70 years. And they have been great when it comes to air conditioning and heating. If your air conditioning is not working properly right now, you are going to have some problems because it is HOT outside. It is hot. Don't worry about the humidity and the feels like temperature. It's hot, whatever they say the temperature is. And you want your air conditioning to be working properly. And that's the thing that when I wake up in the middle of the night, and of course I have to go, do my old man pee, I'm always going by the thermostat to make sure that nothing has happened during the middle of the night, BK. I get so nervous about the grid and all that stuff because my wife has me horrified about that. Oh, you don't touch that because there's something could happen. But boy, Woods Comfort Systems, since I've had this system for 5 years, going on 6 years now, I couldn't be happier with the thing that they do for me. They'll come out twice a year. They make sure it's working properly. You know, they've let me do the filters now. They've even let the bug touch the filters because they have arrows. They have arrows pointing in the right directions and the whole works for doing filters. But they do air conditioning, folks. They do heating when that time comes. And now they're doing plumbing. If you have any problems with your plumbing system, whether it's indoors or outdoors, do count on the folks from Woods Comfort Systems. Nobody does it better.
Yes, indeed. WoodsComfortSystems.com is their website, or give them a call, 512-842-5066. Tell them you heard about them right here on Bucky and BK. And shout out to our friends at Early Bird CBD.
Oh, yeah.
Catching a flight after today's program. I don't travel without these. I might pop a gummy before my flight. And then I'm definitely going to pop one before going to bed tonight. Helps me sleep. Helps me sleep at home. But when I'm not in my own bed, when I'm traveling, I'll be in an Airbnb with a bunch of dudes this weekend. I'm going to need some help sleeping.
Oh, it's you and the boys, huh?
It's a bachelor party.
Yes, sounds like golf with the boys.
A little golf trip with the boys.
They'll be playing poker. They'll be up all night, gummied up, having a blast.
Poker, hardly know her. Yeah, gummied up. I'll bring enough for the friends to try as well. There, but love, go. The Early Bird CBD products. Look, they take the edge off for me, and I use them to help me sleep. And I love these things. I really do. The Buck talks about his Early Bird experience to help him with pain alleviation. Speaking of golf, before and after rounds of golf, if you haven't tried their gummies or their drops, head over to earlybirdcbd.com. They're going to hook you up with 20% off your first order. All you have to do is enter the promo code Bucky when you check out. You will get 20% off. Again, it's a local company. Products designed with CBD, but also a micro dose of THC. So if you're getting drug tested at work, this stuff is not for you. But again, if you're looking to take the edge off, if you're looking to relax, a little mild euphoric feeling, that's how they describe themselves. I concur. Earlybirdcbd.com.
And of course, our good friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company. As soon as I saw my dentist yesterday, he said, "You're good to go." He goes, I said, "Can I eat whatever I want?" He goes, "Okay, do me a favor. Don't get a bunch of Lay's potato chips and start jamming them in that left side. How about that?" I'm like, "Okay, cool. Can I get a burger?" He said, "Hell yeah, you can get a burger." And you know what he said to me? And I know it's going to be a Hat Creek Burger, because I hear you talking about Hat Creek Burger. And I did. I did a little hat. Sorry about that. I didn't go big yesterday. I thought I could, but I went small because I've had so many protein shakes, it'll make your head spin. But I did have a large milkshake, BK, and I've had the banana pudding milkshake. Man, is that good. Oh. That stuff is absolutely fantastic. I am now hooked on banana pudding milkshakes now, and they've got that at Hat Creek Burger. Good fun, good folks, good food there. Over 30 locations in the state of Texas. You'll find one near you for sure. For the kids out there on the playgrounds, the playscape, and mom and dad and the adults are having margaritas, having a little fun in the afternoon. So Hat Creek Burger Company, there's something there for everyone. Love the burger yesterday.
Love Hat Creek Burger. Love Altstadt beer. That's a good thing to wash down your Hat Creek Burger
with. You got that right.
And you're looking for something to do this weekend. How about a trip down to the Altstadt Brewery in Fredericksburg, just a short drive away. And it's a beautiful drive through the heart of the Central Texas Hill Country. And go visit the Brewery of the Year, the two-time Brewery of the Year here in 2026. When you go, well, you're going to get plenty of samples of Altstadt beer. You're going to get to see how it's made. But they've got live music every weekend. They've got an outdoor beer garden, but they also have this giant indoor space, too, if you're trying to avoid the heat. Great food, a European-style restaurant whipping up all sorts of cuisine. It's fantastic, and it's the perfect day trip for the beer drinkers in your life. And, of course, the Altstadt beer, you can find it anywhere, all throughout the great state of Texas. Tons of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. The lager is my personal favorite, but they've got a Kolsch, a great Pils, a Hefeweizen, a light beer. Seriously, something for every beer drinker out there. Once you try it, you won't regret it. One sip and you won't go back to the other beers that you've been drinking in the past. Whatever you have going on this weekend, remember to drink your Altstadt responsibly. It's the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Oh, we get with the boys. Somebody's going to say, "Let's get weird."
Oh, we're getting
weird. There's always that one guy. There's always that guy.
Am I that guy?
I'm generally that guy at fish camp. I'm that generally that guy when people are ready to go to sleep that I'm going to drop a big one on top of your head while you're trying to sleep.
You're going to drop a baked potato on top of someone's head when they're trying to go to sleep?
But I will drop a fart bomb right on their head. If they're snoring and I can't get to sleep, I'll slide over to the bed and put one right on top of their head. The snores are the ones that kill me. You know, I know they got to see Dr. Chad because, dude, let me tell you something. I don't know if you've been to one of those deals where all the guys are in one room at a fish camp or something, And there's just the one guy that sounds like, I don't know if he's, if he brought his, the engine from his car inside with him and put it beside the bed and turned it on. It's just like, I mean, how can you live like that? How can anybody that lives in the same home with you live like that, for much less being in the same room with you? Oh,
and I like that. You know, if you're going to snore, I'm just going to fart in your face all night.
Oh yeah. I'm just going to slide over because, you know, I'm the guy who, I don't sleep with any clothes on. So I'm coming over you and you're getting bare assed right on the side of your face.
Even when you're with the boys, you're.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Even when I'm with the boys, I can't sleep with clothes on. So when you're going on the road with me, at some point during the course of either getting into bed or I take all my clothes off, I got to sleep that way. I've been sleeping like that since high school.
So you will just bareback, go up to somebody and give them the beef stew if they're snoring.
Yes. And those guys don't even budge. It's like it never even, they don't even hear it. You know, I hear everything that goes on because the snoring keeps me up, but I can drop one. I mean, it sounds like Macy's Day Parade and they won't even hear it. And it hurts everything. And other guys that are asleep will wake up all over the room. That particular person will just keep. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I would like to congratulate you on being the number one supplier of pink eye here in the U.S.
I did not start the butt lettuce. Believe me, I was not the one. Oh, I was not picking lettuce, no.
Well, thankfully, I don't snore. And I won't be doing that. That's not the kind of weird I was thinking when you're talking bachelor party. I didn't think it was just farting in people's face and putting your ass in people's face.
Dude who wants to just go weird.
Yeah, that is. Well, you're that dude. I thought I was the weird guy. I am nothing compared to you. Well, I would like to congratulate you, Buck. Some news that dropped this morning. LeBron James. We now know where he will be playing next year. Matter of fact, we now know where he'll be playing for the next 2 years. Congratulations to your Philadelphia 76ers, and congrats to you because your favorite team has won the LeBron James sweepstakes. He is reportedly signing a 2-year, $8 million contract with Philly.
Just doesn't seem like a lot of money, does it?
No, that's definitely the smallest contract he's ever signed.
He just wants wins. He wants to try to get a championship, or he just doesn't want to go home.
Well, that's it. I think it's
sometimes it's time to go home, you know?
Well, you said you don't think he should go to Cleveland, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that home. I mean to his house, to his wife.
Oh, you mean the retirement home?
Yeah, yeah, that home. But sometimes it's just time to go. It just seems like it's time to go, but that's okay. He'll be fine. Once again, he's not taking the subway in Philly. He doesn't have to take the train.
Oh, we talked about this, right? I've always felt like, I shouldn't say always, since Philadelphia made the trade to get Jaylen Brown, I felt like if LeBron wanted the easiest path to another NBA championship, he would sign with Philadelphia. Like, I think you could have made the case before today that the Sixers were the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I know the Knicks are really good. They just won it all. I know the Heat are solid. I know there are other solid teams in that conference. Boston, although I think the Celtics are going to take a step back without Jaylen Brown. So I'm not guaranteeing anything here on July 24th, but felt like of the realistic possibilities, Miami, Cleveland, and Philadelphia and Boston, those were the teams, and Golden State even too. I'll throw the Warriors in there because they had been linked to LeBron for a while. To me, it always felt like Bron's best chance of trying to catch Jordan and get to 6 NBA titles, LeBron's 2 away, was to go to Philly. And that's clearly, we're wondering, okay, does he prioritize city to live in? Does he want the most money? What is he looking for in what could be the very final contract he signs? Clearly he's looking to win, so he is headed to Philly.
What effect will he have on Joel Embiid and his attitude and his body? You think this is going to be a big deal for Joel Embiid? If he wants to get a championship, he's not going to, you know, the nights that he can actually really take off, going to say, no, I'm playing. I got to take advantage of this dude in his last 2 years.
Well, I mean,
he's still missing half the season. That guy, I don't know why I'm thinking something will change with him.
Well, now he can miss half the season.
Yeah, really. You're right.
The Sixers have enough talent. I mean, they did make the playoffs last year with him missing half the season. And they made the playoffs a lot despite him missing so much time. But yeah, I mean, you've got Jaylen Brown, you've got Tyrese Maxey, you've got LeBron James also in your starting lineup. Then You know, you'd like to have Joel Embiid in the playoffs because he can be a difference maker there when you're going up against the best teams in the summer. But you can have one of those guys miss significant time and feel good about what you got.
That starting five is ridiculous. If you get those guys, those five guys on the court at the same time.
I only mentioned four there.
There was a kid from Baylor, the second-year guy.
Oh, B.J. Edgecombe, yeah.
How about that?
He's a stud, too. And that's starting five, and really it's all just the first four, but 36 all-star appearances, easy for me to say, 29 all-NBA selections, 11 all-defensive selections, five MVP trophies, five finals MVP trophies.
Sorry about that, Sal and the Knicks. That was short-lived, wasn't it?
You're putting in the call that the Sixers are winning the East.
Oh, yeah.
Knocking the Knicks off the top. It's over. Their run is over after just one title.
Oh, they burned Spurs fans. Actually really burned them. But, yeah, they've had their fun for the 1 year. They can start to get ready to be in second and third place again where they belong.
So I have to ask the question about that Miami Heat intern. Does he or she get to keep their job now?
No, they got fired on contact.
They were right. It was just in case LeBron signs there. He didn't sign. They weren't leaking anything. He didn't end up going there.
Yeah, I just thought he would be more comfortable in Miami. That was a pretty good team too that he'd have been going to.
Yeah,
and he's been there before, and he's probably got a place on the beach. Hey, no beach. You'll be going down to the Jersey Shore, LeBron, if you want to go to the beach.
That guy ain't spending any time on the Jersey Shore. Hey,
see you at the boardwalk or Wildwood, New Jersey. That'll be fun.
That guy might not even get a place in Philly. He might commute from like New York City or somewhere else every single day.
He'll be living in Bethlehem.
Oh, my gosh. Bethlehem. Yeah, that's exactly where
living
he's very
in Allentown.
He's very religious. Thank you, Billy Joel. Thank you for that. Well, LeBron James tweeted, long statement. We won't read all of it, but he said, I thought I was done when the season ended. I wasn't ready to announce it, and I knew I needed some time to really decide, but I was pretty sure I'd played my last game. I was honest at that last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decide if I still love this game. I still truly love this game, and I have more to give. The last few weeks have really been special. I've never been able to have no clue what to do and take real time to just think. I've had an incredible few months with all the people I love trying to figure it all out. This is my last decision. I'm not going for money. I'm not going for family. What am I really playing for at this point? I still want to sacrifice. I still want to work. I still want to grind. I still want to compete to win and to have a chance at the feeling of winning another championship. I believe I can help make the Philadelphia 76ers a championship team. And I'm so excited to energize a new fan base and start this incredible journey one last time. Thank you, LA. Miami, all forever love, and Northeast Ohio will always be home.
Yeah, maybe he's not done. He's not done. He's trying to get a championship in every city. So after he leaves Philly in 2 years, he'll continue on. There's another journey for that.
Man, I said I wasn't going to read the entire statement, and then I read it, but I think it explains exactly what LeBron's looking for. Yes. He wants to win championships. And look, the easiest path to him to win a title is to sign with the Spurs. I don't know if the Spurs wanted him. I don't think the Spurs should have wanted him. They've got a good thing going. Or Oklahoma City. You could throw Oklahoma City there too. Right. I still think those two teams are better than Philadelphia. I really do. Like if I'm making my own Vegas odds, I'd put the Spurs number one, OKC number two, and then Philly three for who I think is going to win the championship this coming season. And the Knicks I'd put right behind them at four. But again, the Eastern Conference, you don't have to deal with the Spurs or Oklahoma City to get to an NBA Finals. And you're joining, I know Embiid gets hurt all the time, but Maxey and Edgecombe are very young. Jaylen Brown is like 30. He doesn't get hurt a lot. He's still in the prime of his career. Yes. That is a team that has a lot going for it. And
we got a lot of defenders, BK. There's a lot of defenders on that in that group.
LeBron's been open about wanting to be the GOAT. In his eyes, he probably does think he's the GOAT. But
of course,
the one thing that the Jordan stands, and I'm Team Jordan on this, by the way, but like the number one thing that the people who are Team Jordan over Team LeBron point to is six championships. If LeBron is able to somehow get to six, again, he'd have to win two more. But if he gets to six, in his eyes, in the eyes of Benny, that would maybe elevate him above MJ as the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron in his 40s is pretty daggum good. I mean, And throughout his career, he's been consistent. But in the latter part of his career, BK, he's no scrub.
No, he's still good. And he's comfortable being, you know, he was the third fiddle last year in L.A. because Luka and Austin Reeves were better than him. So, I mean, I'm never going to say LeBron doesn't have an ego. He's got one of the biggest egos of any athlete who's ever played, and it's annoying. Right. But when you sign a two-year, $8 million deal, that's checking the ego at the door a little bit. That is, and you sign with that team. I don't need to be the guy. I want to win a championship. I'm cool. I've been carrying all of these teams to championships. I would like somebody to carry me to a title.
Yeah, that's, you're right.
That's what he is going with. So congrats to
you. No, it's 2 years, so I don't have to worry about them pulling out rocking chairs every time that guy takes the court or another car or something like that. Everything is good. He's got 2 years on this contract.
Well, it's a two-year deal with the player option.
Trying
to see if that player option is for year two or if it's for year three. I think it's for year two. So LeBron could opt out. Obviously, he could retire. You could do that midway through a contract.
Dude, after he gets done dealing with Embiid, he'll be retired. He'll be like, I don't want to come back to this again.
After he gets done dealing with people in Philadelphia.
I forgot about those people.
He's got to deal with those people. But that was the biggest reason I thought LeBron maybe won't sign with the Sixers, is he just does not want to deal with them. I don't want to deal with them.
His apartment's somewhere else. It's in Westchester or something. It's not even near Philly.
I got
Villanova somewhere, where Villanova is.
I'm flying. I got a connecting layover in Philly today. I'm terrified. I'm going to be there for an hour, and I'm terrified.
Oh, that's an hour you can never get back right there.
I know. I'm going to get delayed, and I'm going to end up spending the night at the Philadelphia airport. I can already feel it. Disaster. So there you go, man. Congratulations. You're Sixers. NBA champions next year.
Wow.
Plan the parade, and you got to go when it happens.
Oh, head on back to Bethlehem and take a little ride down to Philly.
I was going to say.
And watch them burn down the city.
They damn near did when the Eagles won the first time.
Oh, jeez. And they're still mad. They're still mad at them.
I know.
They want them fired. They want everybody fired. They want to get rid of the quarterback, the coach. I said, you're Philly. Don't you get it? No, we don't get it. We're champions here.
LeBron's going to go for like 12 points on 4 of 13 shooting in his first game, and Sixers fans will be ready to burn that guy on the cross.
Yeah, well, it won't take long if he does. If he starts looking old, they'll let him know. He's in the right place for them to let him know how. If he starts to age right before their very eyes, that's a bad place to be.
Amazing. Wow. Big news out of the NBA. I wasn't expecting to get that on a Friday, but there you go. All right. We will we'll wrap up with some SEC Media Days conversation in a moment. Real quick shout out to our guy, Dr. Chad. You brought him up earlier. Sleep Cycle Center. If you snore, man, there is no better reason to get your snoring taken care of than the fear of the buck, bare-ass buck, farting in your face. If you snore, that's going to happen. Buck's going to break into your place.
Yeah, the middle of the night.
And rip a loud, long one right in your dome.
Sorry about your mate that's beside you. They're going to get the after effect of that if you snore.
Taste it. That mate's going to taste it. Huh? Nasty. Yeah, that's a reason to go see Dr. Chad. Look.
Wow.
Sleeping problems are something you should get taken care of in all seriousness. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. It can cost you your life. It really can. Don't put your sleep to chance. It's too important. If you snore, your partner snores. If you're constantly tired, you know, if you don't get a good night's sleep, go see our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. Their facilities are clean, state-of-the-art technology. It's not just CPAP. They're going to find a real way that actually works, that you're actually going to like, that's going to make your sleeping issues a thing of the past. Free consultations for listeners of the show. You mentioned this show. You're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study. Two Austin area locations, one in Lakeway off 620, the other North Austin, 183, and Breaker, sleepcyclecenters.com for more information.
Love it.
All right. You want to get to Arch Manning sound, or do you want to talk about the three other teams that were represented yesterday?
Let's go teams. We'll get to Arch Monday when we come back.
Plenty of sound, plenty more to unpack from SEC Media Days. And I mean, fall camp is 2 weeks away, so the Texas football conversation is really going to ramp up here. Three other teams went yesterday, and all three of those teams are on the Longhorn schedule this season. You had LSU, you had Arkansas, and you had Mississippi State. Do I dare give you the floor and ask which team you want to talk about first?
Oh, I definitely want to talk about the guy that they want to try to get rid of. How about Mississippi State?
You're really good at this, man.
Yeah.
You're really good at this. Mississippi State.
Yeah, what does he have to say about keeping his gig?
I don't have any sound from Jeff Levy, but if you were power ranking the hot seats of SEC football coaches in 2026, I think Jeff Levy is number two.
Behind Beamer?
Beamer at South Carolina, clearly on the hottest seat. He's going into year six. Jeff Levy only going into year three. But Mississippi State needs to take some kind of step this season. Now, they did win an SEC game, finally, first one in 3 years, but that win was against Arkansas, who was the worst team in the league by far in 2025. Mississippi State has not beaten an SEC team not named Arkansas since 2022. Now,
you know, what was it about that guy that they thought was going to really change? I mean, anything could have changed it. Anything could have changed their fortunes at Mississippi State. But what made them think that that guy was really going to change the fortunes, like 8 wins or something, you know?
I don't know. It's a tough job. And look, it was obviously a brutal situation because Mike Leach was the coach and was doing a pretty good job. And then he passed away while being the coach. So they've kind of been scrambling ever since then. They had the Zach Arnett interim year. And they actually brought him back to be the defensive coordinator this year for Jeff Levy, but
yes,
I don't know. Everybody likes offense, and Jeff Levy was OU's offensive coordinator. Sorry to bring this up, but he was the guy in 2023 when Texas lost to Oklahoma, the one time Brent Venables has beaten the Longhorns. So I'm sure they saw that game and some of the other things that OU's offense did that season, and I guess felt like that was the dude they needed to have. 2-10 in year one, 5-8 in year two. They were 5-7 and got one of those random invites to play in a bowl game, which they lost that. Nice going there. The Mayo Bowl. How do you lose the Mayo Bowl? Looks like Jeff Levy probably eating some mayo out of a tub at some. All right. Oh. Sorry about that. Texas hosts Mississippi State on Halloween. We all remember the game last year. The miracle 17-point fourth quarter comeback in Start Vegas. Everyone thought that was going to be the SEC win for Hail State, and Texas snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. I think my biggest question with the Bulldogs this year is, do they get somebody not named Arkansas? And they don't play Arkansas this year. So can they beat an SEC team this season?
Who's on the schedule? Who's on the schedule for them to beat?
Let me pull it up right here.
Let's see if the Aggies are on your schedule.
They play at Minnesota week two. I know that's not an SEC game, but that's, to me, that's one of those like SEC Big Ten debate games. Because the SEC's biggest and best argument is like, no, the bottom of our league is better than the bottom of your league. Minnesota's not even a bottom feeder in the Big Ten. If bottom feeder Mississippi State goes on the road and wins that game, again, people don't really care unless it's a championship. But
yeah, row the boat, guys. He has to win. He can't lose that game.
Yeah, that's a big one there. So Mississippi State at South Carolina. They get Mizzou at home. They get Vandy at home. They get Auburn at home. Those are their easiest on paper games in conference play.
Yeah, they're gonna beat Vandy, and Auburn's gonna get a win out of that deal.
So their one win, you are saying they will get a conference victory. It'll be against Vandy at home.
Yeah. Who else did they play? What was that third team they play at home?
Mizzou, Bama. Yeah.
Okay, all right. They'll get two. They'll get Missouri. Because who is Missouri? I mean, what is Missouri anyway?
Why is Missouri? Where is Missouri?
Yeah, where is it? Why
how
is it?
How is Missouri? All these questions.
Why do they play football in Missouri? You're right. They'll get two.
Okay.
They'll get Vandy and Mizzou.
That'd be big. I don't know what the bar is for Mississippi State. Like, Mike Leach's last year there, year three, he went 9-4. And it was, I guess, 8-4, and they won their bowl game. So, like, they can win games. Dan Mullen, I mean, they were the number one team in America when Dan Mullen and Dak Prescott were there.
Oh, my God.
I don't think Mississippi State, they're not like Auburn, where it's like, they think they should be that good every year. I think they kind of know what they are, but you don't want to go 3 years without making a bowl game in the SEC.
Yeah, if they can get seven wins, they're going to keep that dude another couple of years.
I think six. I think just – and again, last year they got invited to a bowl game, but they were 5-7. I think if they go 500 or better in a nine-game conference slate, and they've got a decently tough road game on the road at Minnesota out of conference, if they get the six wins, I think Lebby will get a year four. I don't think they're going to get the six wins.
I don't know why. I just don't, you know, unless Pavia gets to come back for another year, which, hey, he's already done with his NFL career for right now. They cut him before they even started.
He got cut by the Baltimore Ravens. The guy.
How about that? How about when you show up? How about when you're like a free agent, you show up to the first day and they go, and you go to the equipment cage, and you're going there to get your stuff.
No, he's been there since April. It wasn't a one-day thing. Come on.
No, he's going. This is the real start of the NFL season now. Yeah. Summertime. He goes up to the cage and says, hey, Scrubby over there. Hey, Joe. Hey, can you throw me my helmet? I want to make some changes to my helmet. And the guy goes, you don't have a freaking helmet anymore.
Yeah, we threw that away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pavia signed a UDFA deal back in April with the Ravens. Made it through rookie stuff and voluntary OTAs, all of that. But, yeah, he got cut yesterday. So, he's done.
He doesn't get to play catchy catch. He doesn't go into the field and play catchy catch.
Is he going to sue to try to get an extra year of eligibility?
Well, of course he is.
Yeah. Probably the next logical step. Him.
Well, didn't he attended junior college for a year, didn't he, somewhere?
Yeah, he had to fight to get an extra year last year.
Oh, no, if he just attended junior college, you get to go back to court at least on that.
All right, well,
even if you do get that extra year, you go back to court again the following year and say, hey, I still went to junior college. Let's not forget that. I need a sixth year or seventh year.
I'm going to enroll at Blinn so I can go back to Texas for more time. That's what we have to do. Yeah, I don't know. I like Kamario Taylor, Mississippi State's quarterback. That guy is a dual threat. He's the highest-rated recruit they've ever signed. He can throw. He can run. They've got some talented pieces there. Their Vegas over-under is 4.5, so they don't think they're making a bowl game. I think they're like a 5-win team. I think they'll get a game or two in the league, but they're not. They're now. You know what? I'm taking the under. I don't think they get to 5. I think they go 4-8 or 3-9. Schedule's too tough.
Yeah, Auburn gets some Vandy. They got to beat Vandy.
They got three very winnable home games.
Yes.
Now, Mizzou's a lot better than Mississippi State, so maybe calling that very winnable is a stretch, but they can beat Missouri if things go right.
Right.
They can beat Auburn if things go right. They can beat Vanderbilt if things go right. Now, you got to go on the road to South Carolina, LSU, obviously here in Austin. And the Ole Miss game is on the road this year. So they got some toughies away from Starkville.
Yeah, by that time, Ole Miss is going to need that game.
Yeah, that's a big one. Last game of the year. Black Friday, same day as the Lone Star Showdown. All right, real quick, National Tequila Day. Thank God you can't celebrate.
No, never did. Never was a tequila drinker anyway.
National Cousins Day. Congrats to you Alabama folk.
Yeah, for sure.
Celebrate responsibly, please.
Praying for you folks in West Virginia with the floods, too, by the way, speaking of cousins.
Yeah, careful banging your cousin in the flood. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying a lot of people suffering down in West Virginia, down in that Morgantown area. Lots of rain.
Oh, I just ruined a sentimental moment. Sorry about that, West Virginia.
You're going to ruin one. Might as well be with them.
You're right. National Drive-Thru Day. We'll get you a Hat Creek Burger in the drive.
Thank you very much.
Couple of quick birthdays here. I need to run to the airport, so maybe I shouldn't do this. Karl Malone, great guy. Actually, one of the worst human beings of all time. Barry Bonds celebrating a birthday today.
Hey, he was an all-star before he even did PEDs.
Yeah. Rick Fox. Jamie Langenbrunner, Dallas Stars great.
Yep.
And Amelia Earhart, born on this day, now dead.
Yeah, she was the First Lady of Aviation, I believe.
And happy birthday to Kramer, Michael Richards. He doesn't love your people as much as I do. And Jennifer Lopez, still hot.
It's Jenny on the Block, still good looking.
57, and Linda Carter, Wonder Woman.
Always hot.
Always hot. Always hot.
Plus she, right. She had those bracelets that, yeah. I got one of those too.
That. You loved that back in the 70s, I'm sure.
Oh, I did, man.
Ooh, young buck. All over that. All over that. All right. Well, that will do it for a Friday show. Plenty more to unpack from SEC Media Days next week, of course. Thanks to Evan Veith for joining us. Most importantly, thanks to you people for joining us today.
Good to have you back. Have a safe trip, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. Good to have you back. And we will all be back next Monday. Y'all have a great weekend.
Welcome.
Welcome.